Though her friends tried to rally round her, Olive brought fruit and a pail of fresh eggs, and Pearl even bought her a new nightgown from the meagre funds she and Hobart had to spare. Catherine's body refused to respond to their comforting gestures. She suffered excruciating, constant pain that required the continuous administration of narcotics. Her jawbone continued to fracture into ever smaller fragments, each new break more painful than the last. And with the new breaks came a new development. Catherine started hemorrhaging from her jaw. She lost approximately 1 pint of blood each time. Though she wanted to stay at home with Tom, her physician, Dr. Dunn, rushed her to hospital, what Catherine called a hurried-up trip. "I want to be home," she wrote forlornly to Pearl from her hospital bed. "I'm so lonesome. Doctor wants me here. Tom wants a nurse at home. I just don't know what to do. I suffer so much pain." She begged Pearl to visit her. "Come over, if possible, won't you, as soon as you get this letter? I'm so lonesome and blue." Dr. Dunn was increasingly concerned for Catherine. Though he kept her in hospital for several weeks, her condition was terminal. She was so weak that he thought the slightest labour could be lethal. He issued a formal statement. "In my opinion, any unusual stress, such as a court appearance, might prove fatal. I have advised and urged her to forego any such activity." But this was Catherine Donahue he was talking about. No matter what her doctor said, she was determined to fight Radium Dial tooth and nail. The company was not going to get away with it this time. Released from hospital by the start of June 1938, she was home just in time to hold a meeting at her house the day before the appeal hearing. Grossman and the other women were there. "There's not much hope for me now," Catherine said to them, acknowledging it. "I only have to wait a while. It will help you girls to win, and it will help my children." "Her children and Tom," she said, "are worth all the pain and suffering." Dr. Loeffler visited the same day. Her thin body barely dented the mattress as he took her blood, drawing it from arms scarcely thicker than fingers. Catherine was so weak these days she did not wear her glasses anymore, but the watch Tom had given her still encircled her wrist on the tightest fastening they could find. Whereas once she had dressed smartly in her polka-dot dress for such gatherings, now she wore a starched white cotton nightgown embroidered with two crucifixes on the pointed collar. When Dr. Loeffler weighed her, Catherine knew at once that he would not overrule the veto Dunn had put on her attending tomorrow's hearing. Catherine Donahue now weighed 61 pounds, 4 stone. She was not much heavier than her 5-year-old son. In truth, even if she had been well enough to attend, it would have been almost impossible for them to transport her. She could not bear the slightest pressure on her body any more. Although Catherine was unable to attend the appeal hearing, she trusted Grossman implicitly to represent her interests. "He is just about the best there is, isn't he?" she said of him. And Grossman was not alone in standing up for her. Pearl, Charlotte, Marie, Olive, and the other women were there, and so was Tom Donahue. The hearing was held before a capacity crowd on a Monday afternoon. Having seen Catherine's condition the day before, Grossman now declared the case was a race with death. "If Mrs. Donahue dies before a final ruling," he said solemnly, "her estate under the law would receive nothing." Perhaps that was why Madgett immediately requested a postponement, but it was not granted.